I'm going to open us in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can lift your name in praises and hear your word. I pray now, Lord, as we spend time hearing your word, Lord, studying your word, that you would just remove distractions from this room, remove the distractions from our hearts and minds so that we can pay close attention to what you have to say. I pray, Lord, that as we get into this psalm talking about the topic of contentment, we could see where true contentment comes from, and it would help us to keep our eyes fixed on who you are and what you've done. Thankful again for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're in our series, There Is a Psalm for That, and we're dealing with our emotions, and today we're going to deal with the emotion of contentment. Now, contentment is a state of peace and satisfaction, being in a state of peace and satisfaction. So my question is this: what brings you contentment in life? Is it time with family? Is it work? Is it vacation? Is it money? Is it friendships? Is it recreation? Is it sitting on your couch watching a game or streaming a TV show? I guess the best way to really find out what brings you contentment is by filling in this blank right here. I find peace and satisfaction when. So just think about that for a second. You don't have to say it out loud, but just think about it for a second. I find peace and satisfaction when. So if what you filled in that blank with is something that can be lost or taken away, I would suggest this. You will not experience true contentment in life. If what you fill that blank in with is something that can be lost or taken away, you will not experience true contentment in life. Now, Psalm 62 is a psalm of David. And in it, we learn where we find contentment, but we also find out how our contentment is challenged at times. How our contentment in this life is challenged at times. So let's start out with this. The first thing is this. Salvation brings contentment. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. So a soul at rest is a soul that's content. The only way for our souls to be truly content and at rest is to trust in Jesus. Now, most of you that come here each week, hear me say something along these lines. We are all sinners in need of a Savior. Jesus is that Savior. He died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. Jesus rose from the grave to prove that he is God. And Jesus said, all who believe will have eternal life. That is our salvation. You were lost, now you're found when you trust in him. You were blind, now you see when you trust in him. Jesus Christ is our Savior. We move from death to life. We are born again. We are saved by his grace. So in that is really our first thing. Salvation brings contentment. And David goes on a little bit more and he says, he alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. The Lord being our rock symbolizes him as being our foundation. He and his word is what we should build our lives on, who we should go to for advice in every area of life, who we should run to when things are going bad, who we should run to when things are going good. He is our fortress. Last week, we learned in Psalm 46 that we find safety and refuge in that fort, right? And this is how our relationship with God works. We run to him for that safety, for that refuge. In him, we find safety and refuge in all things, no matter what comes through your life. You cannot have true contentment if you don't have Jesus in your life. That's the truth. You cannot have true contentment if you don't have Jesus in your life. Now, because of these things, our faith should not be greatly shaken. But if we're honest, sometimes our faith is kind of shaken, right? Maybe not greatly shaken. Maybe in some cases it's greatly shaken. But more specifically, for our topic today, our contentment should not be shaken. Our contentment should not be shaken. Now, there will always be challenges to us being content in this life. There will always be challenges to us being content in this life. We live in a sin-wrought world, and that contentment will always be challenged. So the first challenge that David deals with in this psalm is this. People will try to shake our contentment. This is what David says. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him? Like a leaning wall, a tottering fence. They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. So there's a lot here, but I want to start with this. I think that we can all agree with this statement. There are some messed up people in this world. Can you agree with that? There are some messed up people in this world. And the truth is, messed up people try to mess with you. Have you noticed that? The messed up people, they try to mess with us, okay? They try to mess with us. Hopefully you're not one of those messed up people that tries to mess with other people. If you are, I got some words for you as well, okay? So here's the thing. As these verses remind us, some people will attack us, meaning this, they try to intentionally harm us, whether it be physically, emotionally, spiritually, their heart intention is to harm us and steal any kind of contentment that we may have in life, and generally, they do not want good for us. These people, as David basically says, want to bring you down from any type of high position. Now, David was well aware, being the king, that there was some high position. He was in a high position and people wanted to bring him down. But for our application today, I want to say this. Sometimes your state of contentment is the high position that some people around you don't want you to have, so they will try to attack that. Now, thankfully, for most of us, this list of people is probably pretty short, okay? It's probably a pretty short list. Maybe there's nobody right now, but maybe in the future there'll be somebody. Maybe in the past you've had somebody, but now there's nobody. Maybe you have somebody right now. But in life, you might find the list of people that do what David says at the end of verse 4 is kind of a little longer. And what he says is this, they take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly curse. These are people that see you are content in life, and because they are not content, they are not happy for you. They're jealous, they're envious, they even find joy when something doesn't go your way. This may be a friend, maybe a family member. They just have a hard time with the fact that you have found contentment, but they have not. So David essentially teaches us what to do. There's two things when our contentment is challenged by people trying to shake our contentment. And the first is remember your salvation, okay? Remember your salvation, okay? Salvation brings contentment. Back to our original point, for God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rest my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock, my refuge is God. See, when people try to shake us, we tend to focus in on responding to them, trying to figure them out, and maybe we fall into the trap of retaliating, returning evil for evil. Let me tell you this. When you focus in on them, you will not be content. You will actually be very dissatisfied and very uneasy. And you will mess with yourself, basically, is what it comes down to. You will mess with yourself trying to figure out messed up people. I say this all the time. You're gonna make yourself crazy trying to figure out crazy, okay? That's the truth. Okay, if you have somebody that's kind of crazy in your life, you're trying to figure out what's going on, you're gonna make yourself crazy. You're not figuring them out, okay? So focus in on what you do have, your salvation, the very thing that you cannot lose, your salvation. God alone, my soul waits in silence. My hope is in him. He's my rock, my foundation, my salvation, my fortress, my refuge, my safety. No matter what people are saying about me, no matter what people are doing to me, no matter how they're treating me, I can go back to him. I shall not be shaken. I stand on him. He's my solid rock. On God rest my salvation. No one can take that away. That's my glory. That's what I have from God. He's my mighty rock, my refuge. But we do know that some of the people that try to shake our faith are people in our lives that we have to deal with every day. Okay, we have to deal with some of these people every day. We just can't ignore them. We just can't forget about them. Maybe they live in our house. Maybe they work with us. They're just people that just mess with us. So here's what David says next. He tells us the second thing that we need to do, or he reminds us, is contentment is available to others. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is our refuge. One of the best things that you can do in a situation like people messing with your contentment or messing with you is tell them about Jesus. This contentment, what I have, it's available to you too. Not only will this benefit them if they trust in Jesus, it'll benefit you as well, because maybe if they become a Christian, maybe if they understand what you understand, they'll become a believer. They'll become a believer. Problem kind of solved, right? Problem kind of solved. But there's also this other scenario, and I've talked about this before. If they reject what you have to say, but you keep talking to them about the Lord, they might not want to be around you. You get that? So it's a win, okay? You've annoyed them with God's grace, okay? That's basically, they're like, I don't want to talk to Mike anymore. All he talks about is Jesus, right? I don't like that. So it's kind of a win-win. They either get saved or they don't like to be around you, and you're like, okay. But seriously. So the first challenge to our commitment can come from other people, can it? Can come from other people. But the next two challenges actually come from our wrong perspective. Okay. So challenge number two is this. Status should not determine our contentment. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balance, as they go up, they are together lighter than a breath. So this is talking about people and the importance of people. See, in the eyes of the world, there are important people and there are not so important people, right? That's how the world works. The culture works like that. This person's important, they have power, they have authority, whatever. And this person's not important. So it's common for us to fall into the trap of thinking, because I'm not viewed as important by the world standards, I don't have much value. If we feel that way, we're not going to be content. And we're going to think it's based upon our status. I'm not content because I'm not important. This person should probably be content because they are important. But here's what this verse does. It reminds us that all people have the same importance. And if you are considered important in the world's eyes, you're not going to like what God actually has to say, because he calls you a delusion, a lie, to think that you have greater worth than someone else. We're all just a breath, a puff of wind. Here today, gone tomorrow. The book of James actually says, our life is but a mist. In the balances, we are all judged. We're all judged the same. At the end of our life, we will stand before the Lord and we will be judged by him. Those of us who believe in Jesus as our Savior, we know that he takes our sin. He takes our punishment. Those that do not believe that, you take it, okay? You have to be judged by it. So in the balances, God sees all people as people, whether you have a high status in life or a low status in life. You know, this is one of the traps that we fall into a lot. Even this has permeated the Christian community. We think that important people, politicians, authority figures, we think that they're going to bring us some kind of contentment. We think that they're going to solve the problems. You know, we do this kind of every 4 years. Have you noticed this? Okay. We do this every, this is going to be great. This person is going to save us. This person is going to give us hope. And then a couple of years in, we're like, what's going on here? Where's the next person? This is why, in my opinion, now I'm just going to give you Mike Mrazek opinion. I don't do that very often. I usually stick to the word of God. But I will give you my opinion. When believers rally behind authority figures thinking they're going to solve all the problems, it's a misplaced hope, okay? So I can base my opinion on the scriptures because it's misplaced hope. You're putting your hope in people rather than the Lord. I'm not saying we don't respect authority figures because the scriptures actually teach that we should respect authority figures. I believe trusting in people is ultimately doing this one thing. Now, many of you were here when we spent 30 weeks in the book of Revelation. But you remember when we got to the middle of the tribulation, there was this guy that rose up. Anybody remember what they called him? The Antichrist, okay? He's a world leader. So I believe when people throw their hat behind authority figures on this world, it's just conditioning our culture to eventually think that someday there can be a man, a mere man, that could actually do something, that we should actually follow. So I believe it's really conditioning people. Now, David reminds us of this, what people in general are capable of. He says this, "Put no trust in extortion, set no vain hopes on robbery." All people, even people in authority, and we've seen this time and again, are capable of sin, capable of doing the wrong thing. You might, in your little world of being not that important, have your little sins, but guess what happens when people are risen up to a place of authority and are very important? Guess what? Their sins are a little bit bigger. Why? Because they affect way more people. They have the authority to do what they would like to do. And many times, it's sinful. So we realize this. We can't 100% trust people. We need to trust Jesus. Now, you might be thinking, since there are so many people that can't be trusted, I need to work my way up, and I can be one in authority, and then I'll be content, right? If I rule the world, right? So you think that if I'm in charge, everything's going to be all right. But really, what we need to do is be content in the fact that we are who we are, and God has called us and gifted each one of us to do and achieve certain things in life, and those things are not for our glory, but they're for His glory. So here's how it works. If God raises you up to a status that the world sees as important, if God blesses you, raises you up to a status that the world sees as important, guess what? It's not for you. It's not designed for your contentment. It's designed to bring Him glory. It's designed to bring Him glory. And if you don't bring Him glory in that status, you know what's going to happen? You won't be content. You're going to be like, man, I worked my way up to get to this point, and I thought it was going to be so much better. Have you ever had that happen? Have you ever worked for something, achieved it, thought it was going to bring you contentment, and then you're like, huh, man, this was not all it was cracked up to be. It's actually more annoying than I thought it was. It actually is more stressful. It actually doesn't bring me contentment. It actually causes me more problems. Now, the third thing that challenges our contentment is this: blessings. Blessings will not bring contentment. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Set not your heart on them. We all enjoy blessings, don't we? Right? Go to work on Monday, your boss calls you in. I'm going to give you a raise. No, don't give me a raise. Right? No one says that, okay? No one says that. But the trap is making those blessings the source of your contentment, or feeling like we can't be content unless we have those things. Setting our heart on them carries the idea that our focus is on these blessings. Set your heart on these riches. This can be difficult to navigate, right? Because God's not speaking against riches. He's not saying that. He's not saying you shouldn't have money, you shouldn't have stuff. He's not saying that at all. But it can be difficult to navigate because many times having blessings does make us feel a certain sense of contentment. Like, yeah, I like my life. I like the raise. I like having the nice things. Now, do you realize there's actually a biblical reason you like that? Because the book of James says every good and perfect gift comes from where? From God. God's the one who blessed you. So when you're blessed with those things, yes, it's going to bring some degree of contentment. So what are you going to do? You're going to give glory to God. You're going to show up to church on Sunday and be like, yes, Jesus, thank you. I'm so blessed. I hope you feel that way every single day when you wake up, no matter what it is that you have, that you just say, yes, Jesus, thank you for these gifts that I have, for the things that you've blessed us with. So it's not wrong to appreciate and be thankful for those blessings, but it is wrong to have those blessings take the place of the contentment we have in the Lord. So what do we do? Okay, so we have these challenges. Some come from the outside. Some come from our perspective. Brings us back to where we find contentment. Obviously, earlier we learned the first way that we have contentment is our salvation. Our salvation brings us contentment. But here's what David does in this psalm. Through his words, through what he's saying to the Lord, this psalm teaches us things that should be happening in the life of the believer. So it's not just our salvation that makes us content, but it's actually some of the things, the way that we respond, the actions that we do. So the first is this. It's understanding the Lord brings contentment. Okay? Understanding the Lord brings contentment. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. Again, like last week, when things are repeated, that is a context clue. Listen up. Listen up. Regular reminders. Do you realize this? When I'm planning a message for many of you, for all of you, when I look and I'm like, I feel like we talked about this. And then some of you might even come here and be like, I feel like I heard this. Well, it's because we need reminders. We're sheep. You realize that? We have a good shepherd that constantly reminds us, go this way, go this way, don't go that way, go this way, go this way. And do you know what happens? When we don't get in the Word daily, when we don't pray daily, when we don't attend worship, when we don't go to a Bible study, we start to forget. Why do we forget? Not because it's not there, because we hang out with people that don't have the same worldview as us. Our friends at work, our family members, whoever, and then that gets ingrained. So the Lord is saying, you know, once he's spoken, twice I have heard this. Continual reminders. The two things that we have to understand about the Lord is this. The first is he's powerful. He is powerful, meaning there is nothing within his character that he cannot do. You know, you always have that wise guy. Can God create a rock so heavy he can't lift? That's a dumb question, okay? It's whatever is in his character, okay? Meaning there's nothing within his character that he cannot do. The more you understand that God is powerful, the more you will be content despite your situation. Because you know that you have a powerful God that is on your side. He's for you, not against you. Which brings us to the second thing that we need to understand about the Lord so that we experience contentment in this life is his steadfast love for us. I know we've talked about this a lot. This means his love does not waver. No matter how much we let him down, no matter how much we get off focus, his love remains the same. Sure, he's disappointed. He's not pleased with us when we get off focus, but he loves us. Remember the prodigal of the parable, the parable of the prodigal son. What happened when that son ran home? The dad ran to him. He loved his son so much. Didn't change all the garbage that that son was doing. Didn't change the love that the Father has. That parable is a picture of God the Father and us when we turn our back on him. God doesn't love us like this, so we take him for granted. He loves us like this so we can be content in every situation and know we are secure in his love. In Romans 8, one of the greatest chapters in all the New Testament, it says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. You will not be content unless you really, truly grab a hold of that and say, okay, like, okay. You know, some of you here might have done something that you just feel like, I'm so ashamed of myself. God can't love me. God doesn't want me. God's going to discard me. Don't ever believe that. That's a lie from Satan. Don't ever believe it, because he does love you. He does love you. His love is powerful. Which brings us to our final point. Our final point. Obedience actually brings contentment. For you will render to a man according to his work. This is not a salvation issue, because we can never be good enough. We can never be good enough. It's only through faith in his gift of grace. But do you realize obedience in this life can actually bring contentment? The word render means provide or give. I don't think this is talking about heavenly rewards. I think this is teaching us that there is a direct correlation between our obedience and being content. A direct correlation between our obedience and being content. As a pastor, I see this all the time. People that are following the Lord seem to be pretty content. They seem to be pretty blessed. And people that are not following the Lord seem to struggle a lot. They struggle a lot with contentment. You know, people will talk to me and like, oh, I don't feel content, this and that. They're not doing anything right. They're not following the Lord. They're living the way they want to live. And they're saying, God, bless me. And God's like, what? Like, really? Okay, so you're going to do everything opposite of what I told you and then say, bless me? And then when I don't, you're going to be like, God's not a good God. Like, really? You're messed up. And remember, trying to figure out messed up people messes us up. When we're disobedient, we are sinning. There are natural consequences to our sin. And when we experience those consequences, we're not at peace. We're not satisfied. And guess what? We're not content. When God is asking us to be obedient, he's not like, oh, I have this major plan to make life not fun for all of you. I want you to do not fun stuff and obey me all the time, and then I'll be happy, but you won't. No, it's the exact opposite. God is saying, obey me, follow me. I have the manual, the handbook for your life. And when you follow, you'll be content. But on the other hand, when we're obedient, we are content. When we're disobedient, we're not content. When we're obedient, we're content. But this does not mean if we obey God that nothing bad will ever happen to us. This is an important point. Okay? Because I don't want you to come in here and think like, oh, Pastor Mike said if I do everything right, everything's going to be good and I'm going to be blessed. You're going to be like thinking, like, was he Joel Osteen or something? Here's the thing. That's a reference to the prosperity gospel. We can talk about that another day. But here's the thing. The truth of the matter is this. Even when you're obedient, bad things can happen. Of course they're going to happen. Do you want to know why? Because we live in a sinful world, and it's subject to the curse until the day that we die. In fact, our physical death is a result of that curse. You realize that? But when we obey God despite these bad things happening, it shows God that we do trust him. And because we trust him, it brings contentment. We have this overwhelming... This is why some of you have been through very difficult things and you've went to the Lord and prayed about it and all of a sudden you have a peace about it. And you're like, this is a crazy peace. In fact, Paul says it's a peace which transcends all understanding. Like, we don't even understand how we can be this peaceful in this situation. But we are, because we're looking and focusing in on the Lord and being obedient to Him. This is why the Apostle Paul said in one of the most famous passages about contentment, he said this: "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content." Let me just pause right there. You know where Paul was when he wrote this? He was in jail for his faith. You want to talk about injustice? I believe in Jesus. They throw me in jail. What? I don't belong here. I'm with all these other people that did real bad stuff. Paul's saying, I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every situation, circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him, Christ, who strengthens me. That's where our contentment lies. It's in Him. It's always been in Him. So if you're rushing around trying to find that peace, satisfaction, contentment, and other things, you could rush. We'll always be here for you, okay? You can come back, and I'm going to tell you the same thing 10 years from now. 15 years from now, 20 years from now, we'll be telling you the same thing. Our contentment is in our relationship with Christ. Now, as we observe communion together, it's a reminder of that. What Christ has done. He laid down His life. His body was given up. His blood was shed in our place for our sins. So we remember that. If you are a believer in Christ, you can partake. If you're not a believer in Christ, please don't partake. But you know what? I want you to ask yourself some questions. Why don't I believe Him? Why don't I trust Him? What am I trusting in over Him? And for us as believers, not only do we remember what Christ has done, we start to evaluate our own life. Maybe we've been struggling with contentment. Maybe there's something that's been standing in the way of your contentment. And it's a direct correlation to the fact that you're not focusing in on who Christ is and what He's done. The power and the love that He has for you, the obedience that we should be rendering to Him so that we can realize that He's called us to do many things for His glory, and I should walk that path. Or maybe it doesn't have anything to do with contentment. Maybe you're just struggling with something else. I just want to give you a few moments to just have some silence. Just think about what you learned. Think about your life, your relationship with Him. We don't get many times of quiet in this hectic world. So I want to give you a few moments of quiet, and then we'll partake together.